next weekend, Women in the Arts are presenting Contemporary Art, Feminism and the Internet, an afternoon comprising of discussions, a huge Facebook chat and an interactive international dialogue. So what exactly does all this mean? Here to tell you more are the curators of the event and directors of Women in the Arts, Isabel Hall Thorburn and Katie Winton. Good morning.
Hi, thanks good for having morning. Us.
Not I just really want a pizza now. It's really good targeted marketing to me. I'm like, pizza.
Saturday mornings, what else do you have? Now, how did this event all come about?
Well, we've been running Women in the Arts panel discussions for nearly a year now. And
Over a year now.
And there are a few kind of ways that we came to this event. So we kind of wanted to challenge some of the traditional expectations of a panel discussion. We're really interested in conversation and dialogue around representation of women, female identifying and gender non-conforming people in the arts. And we've been thinking a lot about online space and communities online as our kind of Women in the Arts community started online. And we have also been following Zin's work for quite some time. So we saw Zin's show called The Internet is Where Innocence Goes to Die and You Can Come Too.
And it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was so incredible. So part of their kind of practice is like overwhelming you with like the depravity of the internet. And so you go in and you're kind of sensorially overwhelmed by things. And so we thought that we could marry those ideas of like that kind of performance practice with our own
investigation
of like a panel discussion. And so we've kind of come to a point with like a lot of the people within our community of like we've had a lot of really fruitful discussions using the format of like a panel discussion, and we were thinking of ways that we could kind of like challenge that, and it seemed like a very challenging way to like investigate that. So I think it would be amazing. I think it's not going to be it pushes against a lot of the presumptions of a panel discussion. So there is no moderator. The internet is in a way the moderator, and so it becomes less of a person kind of channeling the discussion, and it becomes the internet, and that kind of like frenetic dialogue becomes like a way of positioning the discussion. So it's going to be so much fun. It could also be like completely insane.
It's very experimental.
We're not sure how it's going to go.
When you said the internet is the moderator, and I'm like, as someone who works in social media, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah,
terrifying.
It's
going to get dark.
But it also does bring up a lot of the ideas around identity and representing yourself online, and you know, targeted ads on Facebook, and the way that people kind of perceive the internet now as something that is inseparable from your everyday life. I think it's really playing with that, kind of toying with that idea of the internet being very present in everyone's, everyday interactions with the world.
And we talk notionally about like intersectionality, and we thought that this would be like a way to actually like practice that and like kind of put that into a real life situation where like intersectionality, like everyone is part of that dialogue.
Yeah, and everyone can access that space as well. I think that's something that's quite important for us, is that those conversations are available online, and whether you can come to the MCA next weekend or not, you can access those conversations and dialogue as they're happening in real time.
And there will be artists from around the world kind of clocking in and being part of it, and probably putting some really problematic things into the Facebook chat. So as happens in Facebook chats where people put some really nasty stuff on.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're having a massive group chat. So I feel like if anybody like walks out to go to the loo, what will they miss?
Yeah, it's an interesting one as well, because I think while it will happen online, I think it will be a whole different experience actually being in that room and being present for it. If you're in Sydney, I would definitely encourage you to come along, because there'll be two screens behind, without giving too much away, there'll be a panel of speakers kind of on a stage, and then two screens behind them, and multiple people accessing those screens via a remote desktop. So what will be happening is the speakers will be speaking, and there'll be images and video and a lot of online content kind of happening, unfolding behind them. So you'll miss the visual aspect of it, I guess, and the frenetic energy of how that conversation unfolds, and also being able to feed into that Facebook chat. I think there's something really interesting about this is what Zin's show was at PACT Center for Emerging Artists that I mentioned before was the audience kind of contributed to that Facebook chat. So you were sitting there, you'd watch them get the chat online on the screen, you'd watch kind of what you were feeding into it pop up and their response to that. It sounds really complicated, but it's a really...
It can be quite overwhelming, but I think that's part of it as well, is that it?
Yeah.
Is that it's like overwhelming, but also that's like part of the energy that you get from it as well.
And also part of the conceptual rationale for it. I think it's deliberately overwhelming because the internet as a space for unpacking feminism is really overwhelming. There's a lot of online communities and there, you know, this is something that we've experienced a lot in our conversations and our programming. There are a lot of different opinions flying around and that can be something that is really difficult to engage with, I think.
And yeah, what we're trying to do is kind of like break down those like silos of feminism that are kind of a lot of the time inaccessible because of like the paywalls of academia. What we're trying to do is make those a bit, those conversations a little bit more accessible. So like you can be talking about like quite complex ideas about like gender and identity, but you can be doing them while like referencing a meme about like, I don't know, pizza or something.
Yeah, or interspersing them with GIFs or emojis or, you know, like kind of, I guess, demonstrating a lot of these ideas that we do talk about a lot in a lot of different circles and a lot of different spaces and making that something that you don't have to go to university to study, that you can have that conversation via the internet.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how you bring up like academic feminism versus real life online conversations, because it can be a very vitriolic place
for
people who are trying, who do speak about feminism. Are you anticipating trolls coming into this?
Well,
we
we've been trolled before, actually.
And I think that like it's been like kind of a wonderful experience, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like it like so much of trolling is about getting a response, and like for a lot of our past events, people have been like, oh, really? Like, this is for women? What if I just came to your event and like pulled out my penis? And we're like, okay, well, like maybe this sounds like you would get a lot from this conversation.
Maybe you would
benefit
from this event.
And like no one turns up because it's it's like really, really interesting.
And I think given the experience of the panelists and also given the like really extensive experience of Zin as facilitators, I think it will be a really interesting thing if we get trolls actually, and there will be a conversation that integrates that element of you know, the internet into the panel discussion. And I think it will be something that can be quite responsive. So
should we talk about Jerry Priestman? Is it Jerry?
Oh yeah, there are a bunch of really great people who are going to be involved, who we've approached prior to the event happening, who are artists who engage with feminism and the internet. And one of them is an emerging writer called Emma Size, and her online identity is Jerry Priestman, who is kind of an older white.
He's got
guy.
Like Speed Dealer Sunnies, and like he's like a little bit like overweight and just like
she describes
obsessed with his online presence as like a performance artist.
She describes him as someone who is like really enthusiastically trying to be an ally but is actually the problem.
It's amazing. Like I just like get so much joy from like reading his responses.
Yeah.
So like one of the panelists, I think it was Sabella.
Yeah.
A lot of her practice is concentrated on like identity politics and like being a person of color within like the white cube, that kind of
the white cube gallery space,
cube gallery space, and like being a person of color within like an art gallery and like within an art school. And so much of her practice is about like taking selfies wearing a sari and things like that. And he as like a performance artist is like, oh, it's so sad to see that you're as like, I love your work. And like he's trying to be like complimentary, but then he'll be like, oh, we're so obsessed with selfie culture, and he just like misses the point so obtusely. He's like so obtuse in his observations of contemporary art, and it's like so magical to like be a part of it and kind of like experience it with him as this like false ally. It's like
but I think
really beautiful.
And I think Jerry might have some input into the conversation as someone who is maybe a, what do they call them, an aggressor or a
What do you think about those allies who will, although there may be allies, you think they're allies but aren't?
I think we've been in our like experience in Women in the Arts, we've probably been like trying to be allies. Like it has so much to do with like having a dialogue with people.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation because something that we're quite conscious of not doing is replicating quite aggressive call-out culture. So I think even though Jerry Priestman is someone who will be quite humorously engaged in the conversation, I think it's really important to make that distinction of what we're not trying to do is to say, like, this person is absolutely wrong. You know, like, I think it's an interesting thing with allyship. And even the term around allyship has come up in our Women in the Arts discussions multiple times as something that is quite an aggressive term, and it implies war, or it implies, you know, like, being on someone's team. It's quite an aggressive term. And I think we need to shift away from, you know, talking about feminism as something that is aligned with gender and realize that there are multiple experiences, and not call people out for getting it wrong. Like, everyone's going to get it wrong. And if you're not having...
We get it wrong constantly.
We get it wrong all the time. And I think if you're not having a difficult conversation, you're probably not having a very important conversation. And I think that's something that we try and be as inclusive as possible.
But also open to critique as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's like something that is like central to like our kind of feminism as well. It's like,
do you find it's an issue, especially when people have such, as you mentioned before, siloed visions of what feminism is, and then this whole call-out culture being brought into it?
It's hard, yeah. And I think it's something, it's hard, but it's also not that hard. You know, like, it's also something that we, I guess, touch wood, have been very lucky so far in that we've had people approach us in ways that have been really open to learning and critique and discussion. And I think for us, that has been a really beautiful progression from when we first started Women in the Arts. Is like, I think if you're, I think if you're genuinely interested in someone's experience without trying to get them to explain something to you as something that you have the right to know, you know, like, I think it's kind of,
I think that's like something we've been talking about as well, that's been in the media at the moment. It's like a lot of people have written op-eds about like why I won't explain race to white people. And it's kind of that thing of, it's not the obligation of people of color to explain that experience to
white
women
people. To explain that to men, or you know,
women like to explain it to men. And so it's kind of like we're trying more and more to not expect people to explain it to other people who don't experience that experience. It's like so convoluted, but what we're trying to do is to make it make a space for people who want to talk about something to speak about it and to minimize their own, and like
at the Sydney Writers Festival, I was at a Roxane Gay talk, and one of the most interesting funniest things was this girl comes up, she's like, oh, I'm a feminist, I'm clearly very white.
Oh my god, I was there too.
We were both there.
I was like sitting next to you,
really uncomfortable.
And she was like, calm down, and I was like squirming in my
seat. We were wriggling.
I was like, sit down.
It was awful.
And it was just like, what can I do to help you as
god.
People of color?
Oh my god,
like, really condescending.
But she had a really great response, right? She was like, don't ask me what you can do to help me, because that's still putting the emotional trauma or the emotional work of that onto me to explain it
that
to
labor.
You. Figure it out. And even if you figure it out and you get it wrong, that's still you making an effort without, you know, making me do all the work. Because if you say to someone, please explain this to me, they're still having to do that work.
I thought her analogy was like really helpful, where she was like, if someone's mourning, you don't go to them and say, what can I do for you? You say, what do you need? Like, what do you need right now?
Or you say, hey, I made you this cake.
Exactly. Like, I made you a lasagna. You know? Like, obviously, like...
I'm here.
Exactly. I'm here. And I'm figuring out what needs to be done rather than asking.
Being proactive. I just thought that was... was so squirming in that moment. I went to that nasty woman one afterwards as well, and I was just like, oh my god, the like emotional labor that people put on to women of color, being like, what can I do, because I've already read your book, so what can I do after that? And I'm like, oh my god, read another book. Like,
I think you
freaking
missed the point.
Read it again.
Well, sounds like we're going to have a lot of interesting conversations at Women in the Arts, Contemporary Art, Feminism, and the Internet. It's all happening next Saturday. MCA. Can't wait. Can't wait to see how this group chat pans out.
Tickets are going pretty quickly, so
get a ticket.
Jump on it.
Cool. We'll put all the details up online. It's tickets about, what, $27?
$25, exactly. $25 plus a $2 booking fee. So, $27. Nailed it.
Yes, math. We got it.
We're just women. We can't do maths. What do you mean?
What do you mean? We're artists? But Isabel, Katie, thank you so much for joining us here on So Hot right now.
Thanks so much for having us.